So how do we harvest? With our mouth. Seriously. If I harvest healing with my mouth, must be I harvest finances. All of it. With my mouth. You know, when it says in, actually on the tithing scripture in Malachi, he said, your words are stout against me. You know, so how do our words become stout against him? It's when we're speaking contrary to the word of God, you know? And that brings us into another arena where this is so interesting. Let me read this to you out of Proverbs chapter 4. This is huge. You know, Lou and I did a study a few years ago on perverse spirits. And I was really surprised when we did the study that it encompassed way more than what we thought. Because a lot of times when we think about perversions, we think of sexual perversions and things that are, you know, like really gross sexually and stuff like that. But when we did a study on the word perverse, it says that which is contrary to that which is right. That's what it means. So perverse could be anything that's going against the truth of God's word, okay? Because what's right is this book. What's right is the word of God. And it says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse starting with 20, and I just like to start with that, but he says, my son, attend to my words, consent and submit to my sayings. In other words, we need to say yes to his words, and then we need to submit, surrender to what he says. And then he said, don't let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And the reason you don't let the word of God depart from your sight is because when the problem in the mountain and the storm comes, if that's what you're looking at, you will sink. You won't have faith looking at the problem. But if you'll keep your eyes on the word of God, it'll get you through. You see, he is the word. The beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So if we will keep our eyes on what God says, that gets us safe to shore, doesn't it? Gets us to the other side. And it says, because my words are life to those that find them and healing and health to all their flesh. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. So in other words, out of our heart, our inner man flows life. And then it says, put away from you false, dishonest, and perverse, and willful, contrary talk. Let it be far from you. So where do we harvest with this? See, and the Amplify says that perverse here, because it breaks it down, is false, dishonest speech. It's willful, and it's contrary. And again, I said like the word perverse means contrary to that which is right. Okay, so when we speak anything seriously other than God's word over the situation, you know, it's kind of like speaking when you go to the doctor and he gives you a bad report. Well, you might have got that bad report, and that might be a fact, but the truth is what God's word says about you. And it's the same way in your bank book. It's the same, you know, and what does he say? Let the poor say I'm rich. So God is always telling us, let the words that come out of your mouth be in alignment with my word. Okay, so that's how we harvest. Okay, I'm going to end with rejection today. And, you know, as I was going through this, what really, really blessed me was the fact that, you know, if you've sat under me long enough, you'll know that I said some of the main things that I personally dealt with as we came into the deliverance message. Of course, we dealt with them all of our lives, and we didn't, you know, realize what it all was till we got into the deliverance message. But one of the biggest things that I dealt with was a spirit of rejection. And I didn't know that it was rejection. I didn't know that that rejection was a spirit. And like I said last week, it's such a strong spirit that it talks about in Isaiah 53 that he became rejected of men, meaning that was something that had to be dealt with at the cross because of its strength. Okay, and so my walking through life is I just always felt different. I always just felt like I couldn't fit in, and plus no confidence, always feeling inadequate, always worthless, never measuring up. And that's a pretty hard thing to be able to have to get up in front of people and then preach the gospel, which I was called to do that. But then to deal with all of that junk made what I do very difficult. I mean, it was almost like I couldn't even do it. But see, that's how crippling rejection can be in our lives. It literally wants to hold you into a place of never fulfilling God's desire for and design for your life. And so as we started, first of all, realizing it was a spirit that we could cast out and deal with and all of its fruits, and we're going to talk about the fruits of rejection today because they're vast. As I was preparing this, I thought, you know what? All of this stuff is so far from me anymore. It's almost like it's strange and like it never was, you know? And it's just kind of cool how God has so set me free from this that I hardly remember even what it was to like and to act and operate under that spirit because of the freedom that I've gotten in Christ. You see, so you can have whatever it is that you're dealing with. Jesus took that on the cross so that you could be totally free of it, but it's your place to say, I've had enough. It's your place to start realizing and studying so you know the authority that God has given you so that you can start speaking to these things and commanding them broken off your life and also out of your life. Sometimes we expect everything to be snap, crackle, pop, you know, just boom and it should be there. You know, take that magic wand and boom, there it comes. You know, but God doesn't do magic, does he? You see? But he brings things into that place where we can lay hold of them. And if you have to go to Jeremiah 23, verses 28 and 29, where it talks about, he who has found my word, let him speak it faithfully. Why should we speak that word faithfully? Because that's our harvest. That's our hammer. That's our fire. That's our sword. That's our victory, is the word of God coming out of your mouth. All right? And so when you deal with some of these strongholds and you deal with some of these bondages in your lives, and I don't care if they're addictions, I don't care if it's lack, or sickness and disease, or problems with your family, or insecurities, rejection, bitterness, you know, any types of abuse, if you'll take the Word of God and you'll begin to speak to it and hammer that. Let the Word of God be like a hammer that will break in pieces that rock of stubborn resistance. So whether you think you've got victory or not, if you'll stay in there, you'll get your victory. You know, when just even like leading you safe to shore, that's a walk, isn't it? That's a progression. And deliverance is a progression. And the more you break these things off of your life, the stronger you get so you can take the next enemy out. When Israel went into the promised land, they went in and progressively took the enemy, didn't they? We progressively go in and take back areas of our life that the enemy has stolen. And see, once we get revelation of these things that, you know, all the bad that happened to you in your life and all the bad that does happen to you in your life is only designed to keep you out of where God has called you from the very foundations of the world. God has a plan for you. The devil has a plan to try to advert God's plan. Okay, that's all that it is. Him trying to get you off. And yet, if you'll keep that word in your mouth, and there's no thing that is can happen to man that Jesus did not take care of it on the cross. And it's just up to you to go after it. All right? Know who you are. All right, so we're going to talk some more about the physical roots of rejection. Because we don't, rejection like has roots. And another thing, if it's never been dealt with in your life, it's probably been there for generations and generations and generations. So it's probably pretty well rooted in your life, all right? Iniquities can be very rooted in our lives. And seemingly up until this generation, seriously, we've not seen a whole lot on deliverance, and a lot of out there in a lot of churches still don't, okay? Praise God that we do. But no matter how deep the roots have gone, if they've gone really deep, it's just like in the natural, if you leave something and it grows and grows and grows, it's going to take you a little bit longer maybe to dig that thing out. And see, that's kind of sometimes why we deal with in areas of deliverance or healing or whatever it is, that sometimes because no one has ever dealt the death blow to that thing with their authority in Christ, and then you step up to that plate, it's kind of like you have to take on the whole thing. But hallelujah, you can. Because everything you do in His strength. All right? When we came to the kingdom, we basically were like first generation, and we definitely have been first generation to deal with deliverance in the family and roots in the family. And so have we arrived? No, we haven't. But have we come a long way? Absolutely. Okay? So when we see things, which we don't see them as much as we used to, we immediately we'll begin to speak to those things and we'll start going after them because you know you want to root them out, okay? But I tell you that because you need to understand these things have roots in our lives. And so just because you don't get them out right away doesn't mean you're unsuccessful. This means you need to stay in there and be diligent and long-suffering, okay? You know, the fruits of the Spirit are not just a bunch of do-goody, ooey-gooey, wonderful things to do. They're weapons of warfare. If I have long-suffering and patience on my side and love and faithfulness, those are weapons, mighty, mighty weapons to use because I'm not going to give up. I'm going to stay in there, and I'm not going to surrender to the obstacles that want to come in front of me to deter me. See, so we need to take these things that God has given us and start going after what's been in our lives, works of darkness. So we're not going to regard the roots of rejection. The roots of rejection are deep and strong. Many, many times because they've been there and they've developed for years. And then when we go after them, literally what happens is God begins to expose more and more and more, even that's been in the bloodline. In all the years that I've done deliverance, I believe that bloodline demons are the strongest demons you'll ever deal with. Okay? Because they're established. They're called, a lot of times, familiar spirits. They know you. They know your makeup. They know how your behaviors. They know you well. All right? They've studied your family. They know how to push buttons in your life. They know where your weaknesses are at and your vulnerabilities are at, okay? So that is why sometimes, again, as you pull these things out, you have to allow God to literally transform, renew your way of thinking. Because once you're free from a demonic voice or influence in your life, and you get in the Word, you're going to begin to think different about the situation than what you did before, all right? And when you think different, that's when change comes. That's when you can change the situation because it's like, excuse me, but this doesn't fit here anymore. It's all of a sudden you have this revelation. It's like what I said to you today. I can sit here and think, oh, this doesn't even feel familiar to me anymore. And I thought, you know, as I was actually going through it, I thought, I don't want to lose compassion for people because I don't remember what this feels like anymore. You see what I'm saying? Because I don't. And I thought, wow, that is so good. You know, I ministered to a woman one time who went through a lot of ritual abuse. And I was going to have her give her testimony. So she got up and she gave her testimony. Actually, it's probably back in the archives, but I'm not going to tell you who she was. She goes here. Still does. And she got up and she didn't share half of it. And I said to her later, I said, you missed some of the best parts. And she said, Bev, I don't even remember that stuff anymore. Isn't that awesome? See, Jesus so set her free. and so cleanse those wounds that she has almost like no recollection of that anymore. And so I thought of her when I was thinking on that, how I am very unfamiliar with surrendering and operating in this spirit anymore. I don't know how to operate in it, in rejection. I know how to operate in his spirit. See, what a change can come into your life. That's you being repositioned and getting trained and ready for this army in the last days. Because if we're going to go out and set other people free, we can't be held by that same spirit. You see, we need to get it out of our lives and have victory over it. See, so this isn't just about you. And I've said this before, you know, because it's definitely about your generations, your children and your children's children. Until you start breaking these things out of your bloodline, they'll just keep it going from one generation to the other. But it's even more than just your bloodline. It's about this world and the church and helping other people get free. Do you know you have a responsibility for that? It's not just about ourselves. And so we need to get equipped. We need to get free so that God can use us to help other people. Okay, it's needed to deal with fruit, especially this rejection fruit in a person's life. If the roots are not dealt with, the negative fruit of sin, or these spiritual forces, will return again and again and cause frustration. And that's why we can come to church and we can come to church and we can come to church and we can get some good revelation. We can go home and we can think, yes, this is, I've got it. And it crops back up. It's because you didn't get the roots out, all right? And how do you get the roots out? You lay the axe to it. How do we harvest? We have authority in this mouth, you see. See, we speak the word of God to create things by the word of God, but in that same realm, that authority comes out of the same mouth. You see, so if you're speaking death over your life, you know, I've said before, you can speak death, but what you want to speak death to is like cancer. You want to speak death to the works of darkness. Death and life are in the power of my tongue. And so I can use that power of death to speak death to adverse things, but I sure don't want to speak it to my life. You see, so we need to be careful that in this harvest it's like what Pastor Evelyn said about in your finances, but it's in every area. You know, if you go around, you start getting free of spiritual bondage, but you still claim that spiritual bondage by your mouth. Why would you continue to claim spiritual bondage with your mouth after you've had those devils cast out of you? It's because you've been programmed by them prior to them getting cast out. That's why you get this book out, you sit under good quality teaching, and you begin to get your mind renewed, and then you determine that I am not going to call myself, I'm not going to give myself an identity of bondage when I've been set free, you see. And so the responsibility of that then comes back to us, that we could cast every devil in the room out of you, but then you need to quit claiming them again by calling forth your freedom also, all right? I told someone here a while back, and I'm not going to give any names again with this, but this person had it diagnosed over them that they were going to be a cutter. It was a person who had been cutting themselves, and it was told to them by a psychologist, you will be a cutter all your life. That's an ungodly identity. And so I told her, I said, no, 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 no. You're a child of the King. That's your identity. And this person has switched how she's talking. See, we don't want to identify with any type of an identity that the enemy wants to give us. We identify with the identity God gives us. Amen? Hallelujah. That's where your victory comes. Okay, there are many, many reasons why rejection comes about and can affect us at any time from the beginning of life all the way through our life. And rejection has roots, but the roots like a tree eventually produces fruit. So we're going to look at both corners, but I'm going to go down through some things where doors can be opened throughout our life, and through those doors, this particular spirit that we're, because we're talking about rejection, but rejection is so huge that even in the arena of healing or finances, you will reject God's blessing if this thing is operating in your life, because you'll have like a mentality that you cannot receive because you do not have the proper value in your life. See, that is an underlying spirit that convinces you. So again, that's another reason I have been able to receive more from the Lord after getting that spirit of rejection out of my life. Not just that I've been able to operate more confidently in myself, but I've also had a greater degree of faith because I'm not warring to spiritual forces. So do you understand what I'm talking about? Because, you know, this is a spiritual force, the Word of God. So if I'm operating and I've not walked through deliverance with rejection or any other self-hate, bitterness, or whatever, what is there then is going to constantly war me over this here book. You see, so sometimes, or maybe you need to break off a spirit of poverty, a curse of poverty, repent over the iniquities maybe of your bloodline. And then, because, you know, sometimes the reason, in fact, when we started going through deliverance, we were able to receive more even in the area of financial blessing from God. And it wasn't just that we received it, but it was just like it began to come. One of the reasons for that, you know, we're promised that if we will bring our tithe into the storehouse, God will open up the windows of heaven and pour us out blessing. We do not have room enough to contain it. So we bring our tithe into the storehouse and it don't seem like nothing changes. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, we've all been there. We've been there. And so then as we, and we were there for years, and it seemed like, you know, we had somewhat of a breakthrough by bringing in the tithe and things got better. But they really got better once we started dealing with spiritual forces in our life that we didn't understand it when we started dealing with them. But those things are designed to rob you of the blessings of God in your life. So if you're tired of being robbed of God, and quit blaming God for it, you know, and if you're tired of it, then start getting some deliverance in your life and in your family, and it'll begin to break the back of the enemy then off, all right? And sometimes when you get started, it might seem like, oh my goodness. It's like, and another thing, when you get started, sometimes the enemy gets kind of angry because he's not too happy with you because somebody is finally standing up to him with their God-given authority. See, the devil understands your God-given authority. So, yeah, he knows what your authority is. He knows he's already stripped, destroyed, brought to nothing, but he sure doesn't want you to know it. So if he can keep you bound, but as soon as you start taking back, he does throw sometimes everything he can at you to get you to stop because he knows how dangerous you can be getting revelation of this. So that's why you don't quit. When the going gets hard, the tough in Jesus, just keep going. We don't give up. We're unrelenting. Okay, so some of the doors that can be opened in our lives through, and so some of you, like when I do history on people, and kind of we're doing that right now, you can go in and you can pinpoint things in your life where maybe these doors have been opened up in your life, which would show you that absolutely those things could have gotten in there and they would be something you'd need to deal with. But rejection, a spirit of rejection can come in during conception and throughout the pregnancy when your mother was pregnant with you. Rejection can begin in a wound, and we're going to talk about wounds a little bit. You don't deal with wounds in the same way that you deal with demons. Two different situations, but the demonic causes the wound. So most people who really need to go through deliverance are also suffering some major woundedness on the inside of their lives. But Jesus heals wounds. He doesn't cast them out. He heals them. But it's kind of like removing the sliver. You know, you can have this horrible infection, and once that sliver, you ever have a sliver and it's infected and it pops open and a sliver just goes out, you know? And that's kind of how you remove the demon But then you got to get rid of all the infection, that woundedness. And Jesus comes in to heal that. So you deal with kind of two things there. Most people, especially in their area of rejection, are very deeply wounded. So that spirit of rejection needs to be removed, and then they need to allow Jesus to come in and do some healing. So it can begin in a wound or a demonic oppression before a child is even born. The enemy takes advantage of the most vulnerable, and that is why most people come in, like when we do history, we'll go back to as far as people can remember, or even things their parents told them about them growing up, because when you were little, that's when you were the most vulnerable. And that vulnerability then keeps coming up through so that even adults can be real vulnerable until we remove these things. And once we remove them, it's like we remove the weakness so that we can begin to start being stronger in Christ. Okay, many adults have found that the source of their problems started in infancy or even earlier. There's a book out, and this is a good book if you wanted to get it. It's called The Secret Life of the Unborn Child. And it states that the unborn child is an aware, reacting human being who from, and it says here 6 months, but it is even much earlier than that. I believe from conception. That child is a living being. God has put a spirit in that little one from the second of conception, and that little one, even though the emotions may not be matured, can sense when things are good or they're not right. They're loved or they're not wanted. Okay. It says from the time of from the fetus or the baby being 6 months and on, and perhaps earlier, that little one leads an active emotional life within the womb. The fetus can, and this is proven scientifically now, but the fetus can see, hear, experience, taste, even at a primitive level, they can learn in the utero. Most important, that little one can feel, not with an adult sophistication, but still can feel nonetheless. And that child then can perceive and begin shaping his attitudes and expectations about himself, even in the womb. Did you ever stop and think about that? That even in the womb, a baby perceives whether it's loved and wanted. And again, that is why there's so many things in society today, in our lives, and even children being conceived out of wedlock. You know, because usually a child conceived out of wedlock is not readily wanted. They may be loved. I'm not arguing that point. But when a child comes at an inconvenient time in your life, there may not necessarily be wanted, and the parent may not be purposefully rejecting that child, but that child can sense that. Okay? They're very, very sensitive. So a lot of times when we even pray with people, we will have to go back and, you know, if I can go back and pray into someone when they were 1 or 2 years old, then there's really no reason why you can't go back and pray into them, because they were just as much of a living human being in the womb, you see, as they were once they're out of the womb. And much damage, a lot of times, is done in the womb. I told a story one time of a woman I met up in Canada who, she could not take a bath. She was absolutely paranoid and would have panic attacks to get into a bathtub and take a bath. She couldn't do it. She always had to take a shower. So she had come up to this place. We had gone up for some training, and she was up there to get deliverance. And she was sharing the story that had come out about her and why she was so afraid of bathtubs. When her mother was pregnant with her, her mother took a hanger and endeavored to abort her in a bathtub. But the problem was, she was born with a twin, but should have been born with a triplet. See? And so because of that traumatic thing happening to her and her sister in the womb, that was where that fear and that panic of water in a bathtub came, because that's what the mother... See, so that child was still aware. And that sounds crazy, you know? But it's true. And you see that play out more and more. And I remember when I heard that story, because I actually met her, and she shared that with me, and that she was getting freedom. You know, to me, it sounds kind of strange and weird, but the more you minister to people and the same types of stories keep coming up, you know, and there's no way people could make stuff like that up. You see the truth of those kind of things. So here you see, even in the womb, a child is so sensitive to what's going on about them. Therefore, it is clear that a denial of love can affect a child before it's born. The womb is the baby's first home. It's friendly or it's unfriendly. It's peaceful or it's hostile. Now, backing up here too, if in your marriage or any relationships, while the baby is in the womb, if all there is screaming and yelling and strife and discord in the home, that's a hostile environment. We had a couple in a church, it was the first church we were in, and these two couples got pregnant. And they were both probably in their 40s, both couples, at the time that. So they'd already had family, and their children that they'd had at younger, they were probably in their later 40s. Their children were almost grown up, and then here comes a baby, you know? And the one couple, they were just so happy. And the other couple was so upset over this baby. They didn't want another baby. They were looking at being free in life. Okay? When these two babies were born, the one baby, all it did was cry and cry and cry and cry. And I used to wonder back then, because I didn't understand this then, why this one baby was always unhappy. And the other one was as happy and peaceful as could be. The baby that was unhappy was from the mom and dad that hadn't wanted to be pregnant. And just absolutely went through all sorts of turmoil during the whole pregnancy, you know? And then when you find this out, you get some understanding. So we need to make sure our home environments really should be peaceful. When they're not peaceful, they affect those, our little ones around us, okay? So there's, you know, and once damage is done, the only way it can be undone is through the Lord. So we can always pray. And I, you know, how many of you have missed it? Man, we sure did. You know, we missed it. Good time. Big time. But all you do is go back up and let God begin to reverse things in your life. So I don't tell you this to condemn anybody if you were in those positions. But if you were in the position as a baby, that might help you to understand why you might have some dysfunctions in your life now that can easily be taken care of through just some deliverance and some inner healing, allowing the Holy Spirit to heal. These are could be reasons for rejection before birth. An unwanted pregnancy, illegitimacy, exceptional fear of deformity, or fear of childbirth in the mother, attempted abortion, which I already told you some of the stories about that, pregnancy through rape, incest or adultery, a drug or an alcoholic dependent mother, separation or divorce before the baby is born, shock or trauma during pregnancy, such as an accident or death of someone close. When you find a little child that is very dysfunctional, there's always reason for dysfunction. It isn't just this kid's a mess, all right? There's things that have gone on in their lives. Like we were praying with a little boy, Evelyn and I, a few weeks ago, and he said, I can't help the way I act. I just act this way. You know, that's what he's been labeled in the school system. He has no control over himself. But in the home, there's no control. You see what I'm saying? There has to be harmony and peace in our homes for the sake of our children. All right? So anyway, let me go on and read this. In the scripture, the psalmist says, so we can always be encouraged in this. The Lord says, for you, or David said in Psalm 139, says, you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. And I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well my frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So God set a plan from the very, very beginning for each single person. So even though you might have had a horrible life growing up, maybe, or weren't wanted, and maybe you weren't even wanted for being a girl or for being a boy, maybe mom and dad wanted a girl or they wanted a boy and you were the opposite. He says that he, from the very beginning, had your whole life written down for you. Isn't that awesome? God wanted you. We are wanted by God. Okay, another area of rejection can be during birth. Pain and trauma, maybe of a protracted labor, difficulty, especially if certain instruments are used because of the trauma that comes in. Emergency attention after birth requiring separation from the mother. It's so important for the mom to be able to bond as soon as possible with that baby. Congenital deformities, maybe the mother's death at time of the baby's birth, the baby being taken away for adoption, feeding problems, interfering with mother and baby bonding. Going back to the adoption, I really believe that every child that's ever adopted really needs to go through some degree of deliverance because of this rejection that's here. If you've adopted a child, I believe that's ordained of God, all right? But that little baby's correct purpose would have been raised by its own biological parents, and so there's still that separation, and in that separation, it's a door where the enemy gets in to hurt the child, all right, to cause them to feel insecure. That's a lot of times why adopted children have a lot of different issues, and it just goes back to having the correct stuff ministered to them. We could avert a whole lot of this time of stuff if we brought deliverance into our families when they were young, okay? But most of us didn't know, did we? You know, I mean, my children were grown up adults by the time we got into this ministry. We used to try to find this ministry when we first got saved, and we'd go and we'd talk to pastors, and they'd say, oh, no, 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 you don't have demons. We had demons that needed to be broken and cast out of our lives. We had behaviors and dysfunctions, you know, but we couldn't find anybody who would believe it. You know, I mean, they could have seen it, but I mean, they, you know, that you could have these things operating as spiritual forces, and the simplicity of it was cast them out. That's it. Deliverance isn't hard, but it sure is awesome to get it. Okay, I'm going to have to probably skip over some of these things, but parents wanting a boy instead of a girl or vice versa, and that child takes on guilt for being the wrong gender, also can cause them to also question if they're the right sex, which sometimes that can lead to homosexuality. Because there's a voice that tells them you should have been this, and that's why you're like this, and that's why you have these feelings, or that's why you have these different emotions. I think it's, let's see, Peter and Doris Wagner talk about the fact, I think it's them, and I can be wrong, it could be another couple that years ago have been some of the pioneers of deliverance. But they talked about with their first child, they wanted a boy. And they got a girl, but they totally planned on a boy. And so they did, they bought everything blue, and they even had a boy's name picked out and all of this, and they treated that baby in the womb like it was a boy from the time they found out that they were pregnant. Well, then they had a little girl, and they absolutely loved their little girl, but they said their little girl is she's an adult now, is a helicopter mechanic. And, you know, but it was... You know, that mindset was just, you know, and they attribute that literally to the fact that that put a bend towards in that child. But since then, they said their child was healed and delivered, but still a helicopter mechanic. So anyway, I just thought it was funny. But, you know, you will see those things when you work with a lot of people that plays out over and over and over, where you can see things begin to move a child towards a certain bend, even from conception, or they feel like, why have I always been that way? Well, that's why. You see, and sometimes, you know, if we can put our finger on what the issue is, or like, this is why I'm act like I do, you can deal with it and change your behavior. See, a lot of times we just walk through life just like that little boy just says, well, I can't help myself. You know, that's what they tell me. I can't help myself. It's like, honey, you really can. But until we take responsibility and sometimes even recognize that this is what's gone on in my life, then once we recognize it, then we can start dealing with it and make some adjustments to change our behavior. See, we don't have an excuse to be out of control, to have no restraint in our lives. You know, we need to bring ourselves into alignment, you know? Okay, early childhood can open up a person to rejection. The first few months and years of a child's life are foundational and formative. Children mirror those who are close to them, and their little spirits are wide open to receive both positive and negative things. And that is another reason why you don't go around telling your children they're stupid, they're worthless. You dumb little kid, what'd you do that for? You see what I'm saying? Because you're giving them an identity. Now, most of us probably had that spoke over our lives, all right? And so we've had to root that out, okay? But if you've not had children yet, or if you're a grandparent, we're not to be doing that because, you know, and it's not like you just tell you, oh, you're wonderful, you're wonderful, you're wonderful, because you are training a child, but you don't speak death and stupid things like that over children. Okay, saying things like you were a mistake. We didn't want children. We didn't really want you. We wanted a boy. We didn't want a girl. I wish you'd never been born. Because, again, the tongue has the power of death and life. Also, separation too early in life or for too long, even for legitimate reasons. That would be, again, where a child is maybe left alone a lot or left with a babysitter a lot and the parents aren't an integrated part of their lives, like children being sent off maybe to another relative or parents just going all the time. That separation can make a child feel. And you know, it's not just about feelings. Let me tell you this, because as soon as these things start going into play, there is a spirit of rejection that will come and make sure. You know, we listen to voices all the time. And when you listen to a voice, we talked about that before, like out of Ephesians, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So that tells me then that maybe some of my thoughts, if they're not good thoughts, where do they come from? Do they just come from me? Well, they can come somewhat from me in the fact of maybe things that were spoke over me or things that I was trained or taught as a child. But a lot of it just comes from outside demonic forces, again, trying to get you to identify with things again. So that is why as soon as a little child would be like left for long periods of time, they will begin to reason and there'll be these thoughts, these voices that will begin to tell them that mom and dad don't care about them or there's something wrong with them and that's why mom and dad don't want to be around me. Divorce is so huge in the fact that a lot of children, and I've taught children, believe that they're the problem and the reason for the divorce. That's commonplace. And children are not, very, very seldom are the reason for a divorce. Children being given up for adoption are sent to foster homes in early years, even if they're welcomed into a loving, happy home. Preferential treatment of one child over another, in other words, having favorites. You should never have favorites with your children. Having early losses such as death, divorce or separation, physical or mental disabilities, speech impediments like stuttering and so on. Prolonged childhood illnesses or hospitalization can open doors. Parents arguing or constantly fighting in the family, in the home. School years can open up a child to rejection. Rejection can occur in the very important years up to adulthood of during school. The relationship between parents and children can open up these. There can be like cruelty or domination by parents or older siblings. This is a big one. We should never try to dominate our children or control our children. We are to train and teach and bring them into accountability. But a lot of parents endeavor to control their children, decide who they're always, and not that there's not a balance with this, because there is, but a lot of parents become really controlling over their children. Some of the negative things that can happen with too much control is that your child's never going to learn to make a decision for themselves. So then when they get out there, they're void of making right decisions because you never allowed them that freedom, so to speak, to have it. I ordered a series a few years ago called Total Transformation, and it's on a child. It's from a Christian psychologist who he was given up for adoption. They found him in a basement in New York, abandoned when he was 2 years old. Grew up, had wonderful parents that adopted him, but grew up rebellious and ended up in prison, you know, and then got saved and went to college and studied this, and then now he has this course out. But one of the biggest things he talks about with children who are out of control is make those children accountable. You know, and don't be fixing everything all the time. Why do we fix things? Because we want to control things. We want to get this little kid right into such a good little place that nothing bad happens to them. That's a form of control. Let them grow and let them also be accountable. And if your parents missed it, again, because most of our parents did, all right? Most of us have been raised with parents, and then we ourselves became parents and acted the same way or worse, or maybe we got better, I don't know. But the thing of it is that whether they did or not, you still, whether they did everything right or not, we are still always accountable for this person right here. So if my behavior's out of control and it's dysfunctional, then that's my issue to get it lined up. You see what I'm saying? So you don't have an excuse, okay, any more than your parents would have had an excuse. You still have to deal with rejection or whatever, and you still have to get over bitterness and unforgiveness towards people. Okay, maybe there wasn't enough of affection and physical touch in the family. If you've not, if you're not a person given to affection and even physical touching, like hugging in your home, then step out of your little comfort zone and start doing that. Especially if you have children, start hugging your children and hug other people too. It doesn't hurt to hug people. Do you ever hug somebody and they're like a wall and you can just tell they're stiff as a board? They don't know how to respond to love. You see, they probably weren't hugged very much. They probably didn't have affirming words spoke over them. Okay, and if you're that kind of a person, how do you, like a lot of times, the only way you're going to overcome some of these things is to go opposite of what the devil has endeavored to do in your life. You have to step out of that and reach out to other people. There's a lot of other ones. Being bullied, speech impediments, dyslexia, learning disabilities. Let's see, what else would be like? Maybe a child with some type of handicap, those types of things. All of that stems towards rejection, all right? Be very careful that, and maybe this would have been you, where a child went through some things and was isolated a lot. You know, I had a young man one time who came, whose mom had died, and then his dad remarried, and he never felt like a part of the new group, new parents. So he would purposefully, on his own, isolate himself. And then years later, dealt with all sorts of things, that just how the enemy would play with his mind when he would be in those places. Or another thing would be like a child. In fact, one time I was praying with a young boy who his parents were not married and then had married and had, so there was a family here with mom and there was a family here with dad and they all had children and then there was him in the middle. And when I was ministering to him, one of the things that the Lord told me was that he didn't feel like he belongs either way. He's in like more like a less an outcast, all right? Because they have their family here. Mom has her family. Dad has his new family. And here I am in the middle, and they try to just shift me back and forth and accommodate, make accommodations for me. So that is why sometimes with a child in that kind of situation, we need to make them, if that would be your child, feel like they belong and feel like they're important. Because again, you don't know what the enemy is feeding them. A spirit of rejection endeavors to feed a person they have no value, they're not important, you know? So those kind of things can come in real easy, and especially when a child is isolated. Okay, family circumstances can bring about rejection. Poverty, our serious financial problems, racial abuse, long periods of unemployment, sexual abuse inside or outside the family. And that's another situation altogether with sexual abuse. I don't think I'm not going to get into that too much, but sexual abuse especially, or even some strong, well, I would say pretty much verbal and physical too, but especially sexual, tells that child you really have no value. I don't value you for who you are, for your importance in my life. You're just somebody I can use. Okay, that would be in the arena of sexual abuse, or in the arena of verbal abuse. That again will train that child to have no confidence in themselves. And physical abuse does the same thing, where, especially if a child is, and some of you may even been raised that way, where you were constantly being beaten under the guise of a spanking and discipline. You see, and it has such an adverse effect on the value of that person. Okay, later on in life, things that can cause rejection would be like guilt over early pregnancy, teenage pregnancy, an abortion, failed love affairs, unwanted singleness, being disabled or having a major illness, serious problems with children, divorce or separation or an unfaithful spouse, death of a marriage partner, or other significant person in your life. And then another thing here is in the arena of abuse. I'm going to read you this. The incident of abuse is now more common or commonly known. Abuse can begin in the early years. Verbal or mental abuse is any form of negative pressure by thoughts or words being spoken. Adults as well as children can be easily put down by words. Long silences, okay, not talking to a child or maybe a spouse. You get angry, can easily put that person down. And it's also a form of manipulation. Also ignoring people when they talk to you. Physical abuse can affect children, married partners, or unmarried partners. The physical damage is bad enough, but there's also, because of the physical abuse, emotional hurt and humiliation, which can take a long time to heal. Disciplining a child, even in front of other children, is a form of abuse. Sexual abuse, I mean, like if you're out among people and you have, you know, there's a place of correcting a child, but not abusing a child. Sexual abuse is much more widely recognized than it was previously. The wounding that it causes is already opening for demonic activity. Because this abuse is surrounded by secrecy, the awareness of the abuse is usually suppressed, and its effects are buried deep within the person and with the person who's been victimized. I do not know why, but I do. Well, it would be demonic, but usually when a person is sexually abused, that abuse is hidden for years before it's exposed. And how the enemy manages to keep a child silent, but he does. It's kept silent. You can normally tell now by watching behaviors. I can tell by behaviors. Because the more you do this type of ministry, there are certain specific behaviors that are prevalent to certain types of abuse. So they're pretty easy, like to pick those up. But a child that's been, they say, this is medically sexually abused before the age of 6 or 7, will have multiple fragmenting in their life, and that's like another teaching altogether. But the breaking of the personality, the breaking of the soul. You know, where a child is over and over and over fragmented. And so when you go to minister healing and deliverance, then you just deal with a whole nother arena of trying to get into those various areas because you got so many broken areas. And when that happens, then just always like direct deliverance doesn't always work because you can break down some things, but you still have all these individual breakings with that child that normally have to be dealt with. Okay, broken marriages can open doors. Certain traumas can. Let me just quickly go through the fruits and then I'm going to quit. There's three basic fruits of rejection that will usually manifest with people. And so again, like I say, when you start seeing these things, you can pretty well figure out what that person is dealing with. Like sometimes people can come to me and I know it's rejection, and I may not, unless the Holy Spirit shows me, know what opened the door, but I can put my finger on what has happened in their lives just basically because of behaviors, because these things bring about behaviors. But rebelliousness is an aggressive reaction to rejection that shows itself as opposite, as in opposition or defiance. And when a rejected person reacts this way, anyone who gets in his or her way can be affected. Anger, arrogance, or criticism can be openly displayed. These emotions may normally be deeply hidden, but will erupt like a volcano when provoked, injuring the person and those around him. So sometimes when you deal with a person that just explodes and goes off, and it's like poison then begins to just spew out of their mouth, all right? It's one of those fruits of rejection, but it's rebellion. They believe that schizophrenia comes out of rejection, severe rejection. And in my dealing with people, I think there can be mild kind of schizophrenia and kind of in the medium, and then there can be a real severe schizophrenic behavior in various people. But you will see in a person who's schizophrenic, all of these things will literally operate almost completely. It's like a schizophrenic is double-minded, broken soul, okay? And we know that a person can be double-minded. I mean, the scripture talks about it. But you can have a person that's totally just fine to be around, and then something triggers that, and it's like you've got explosion, you know? And if you're in the way of that tornado, it's like you better take cover, because it can get pretty bad sometimes, all right? Because that's how they operate. They really do, okay? And it doesn't mean, well, usually, people can get angry. They can have a spirit of anger too, but this is one of the things that usually a person that actually has a lot of anger probably has a lot of rejection. Okay, self-rejection. Let me just look at that one. Many people take, that would be the next fruit, many people take rejection into their own selves and begin to reject and hurt themselves. This can be through hating themselves, cursing themselves, being physically violent toward their own bodies, and that would be even where a person cuts, a person puts themselves down verbally all the time. Sometimes you'll see people beat themselves. Some people just take and knock their head against a wall or hurt themselves, but it's like a self-rejection, all right? Some people will withdraw on the inside of themselves and in an insecurity and have a lot of inadequacy. They can never step out and do anything because they don't have the confidence that they have value enough to step out and do something. Do you ever do that where you second guess yourself and you never feel like you can do something because you're probably just going to fail at it anyway, all right? And that stems out of that, out of this rejection. But not only have you been rejected out here, but now you are rejecting yourself. So it becomes even worse, where you were treated with no value, but now you act towards yourself with no value. So therefore, again, that's why you, there can be a third operation where, because you're operating in this rejection so much, you're going to cause other people job opportunities to reject you, positions to reject you, being chosen for certain things. Like even kids in school there, everybody else gets picked and they're the last ones. And then somebody goes, well, just take them. They're, you know, not worth much, but just take them. That's rejection, you see. And a lot of that stuff we pull to ourselves because we're walking in this rejection, this self-rejection, okay? So when you recognize that, okay, then that would show you that you need to get rid of some of this rejection. And I'll tell you what, the only way I've ever seen it removed is through commanding it to go, because it is a spirit, okay? Then once you've commanded it and you start getting released from it, then you need to allow the Lord to come in and do some healing, because there's damage that was done, all right? It's, again, like a sliver. You can remove the sliver, but then there's a time of healing for that wound, isn't there? Okay? So we can remove the demonic force that has accessed our lives because of some vulnerability. But then again, I don't know too much other than this is the best healer in the whole world. You know, his word and coming to Jesus. And that's like why we've talked a lot lately about, you know what, get that personal relationship yourself with him as your healer, as your deliverer. If you know how much he cares about you, he is so easy to run to. Okay, I get tired, sorry, but you can only run to me for so long, and I'd say, that's it, can't do another person. But Jesus never gets tired. It is. He's always there. And so I guess I've learned that from early in my walk with the Lord, is that, God, I'm just going to come to you. And Lord, will you help me with this? And God, will you change this? And he always does. He has never once said, nope, I'm tired. You know, or I ain't got time today for you, Bev. You know, or nope, this is too big of a problem. You know, he always, always. So, and that is why it is so important. Learn to go to Jesus yourself. When you go to Jesus yourself, do you know, you could sit in a class like this and you could hear like what we've taught on integrating, on casting stuff out, on receiving healing, and you go home and do it yourself. You know, because there really are ways that God does heal us. And one of them is casting out the spirit. So you can go home and you can cast out some of this stuff. And then there's times you need some help getting things moving, you know. But I'll tell you what, like I told you a few weeks ago when I was teaching on healing the soul, when I went to the Lord and said, God, do you think there's possibly a broken part here with me because of something I had felt? And then I said, well, Lord, just heal it then if there is. And boom, he healed it that easy. It was no big, long, drawn-out thing. See, God is the healer, and it's not big for him, okay? And then the last one, it would be self-protection, where we become very self-protective of ourselves, and we start closing up because we don't want to let people in to hurt us, all right? And that right there, when we start pulling back from relationships and pulling back from having an open heart, you need to be willing to allow people to get into your lives, all right? You cannot, even when people come for ministry, and I go to minister to them, you can literally feel walls that are put up. And see, when we put up walls of self-protection, we not only keep people out, but we keep God out. And it will be an interference to you to be able to go to the Lord and let God help you. Okay? So I am going to quit here. And I'm going to pray for you a little bit today. Not a lot. But I am going to pray. I would suggest, too, that you get online and start going back through some of the teachings. We do a lot of corporate deliverance online, and people all the time are calling in and saying that hours away from here getting deliverance, because the command of God is anointed whether it's coming right here or not, because it's God that does it. Okay, it's not about a person, all right? So in that, if you start going through these things, you can start getting some of this stuff broke off of you. So let me just pray with you right now. Father God, I just thank you. I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, by a choice of my will, I forgive those who have hurt me. I forgive my parents, my spouse. I forgive past relationships. I forgive anyone who has ever wounded me in any way. And by a choice of my will, I forgive them and I release them into the freedom of my forgiveness. Today I choose to release myself from being the victim of anyone who has violated me in any way. And God, specifically in this area of rejection, where I was not loved or valued or properly accepted and received as a child, whether with parents, teachers, pastors, peers, anyone. Lord, I choose to come out of agreement with rejection. I choose to come out of agreement of having no value. And today I receive what you said about me, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that you literally had every day of my life written down and planned from the very foundations of the earth. In that plan involved victory, healing, deliverance. You made me with a destiny. You made me to be of great value. You made me to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So God, I choose to position myself with that in the name of Jesus. Okay, now I'm just going to pray over you for a little while, and I'll just see how that kind of goes. And if you, Evelyn, if you got something, why don't you come on up and pray with me too, okay? But Father, right now in the name of Jesus, God, I break off all insecurity off your people today, God. I command literally voices that cause self-doubt, voices that cause second guessing, voices that cause fear to go right now in the name of Jesus. I speak to voices, I bind voices that tell you that you can never be free, that you can't come up. What happened to you was so huge that you can never walk out of that. I bind lying voices in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That just keeps your mind going here and there and somewhere else. God, that inability of people to get hold of their mind and bring it in under your control, I command that spirit to leave. I say you get out now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I call for that control, that Holy Spirit control to come and just help us to keep our minds centered on you. And God, I'll thank you for that in Jesus' name.
And I speak to physical defects and physical infirmities that have come in from rejection. And I command right now disorders to go. I speak to fear. I command anxiety to go. I speak to phobias and obsessive compulsive behavior in the name of Jesus. I command right now all that fear and anxiety to lose. Heart palpitations come out, repressed and unresolved childhood experiences. Take a deep breath and release them. Come out. That feeling of no value. I speak to poverty and lack in the name of Jesus. And I command that poor spirit, that thing that wants to keep you poor, to come out in the name of Jesus. That thing that wants to make you where you just get by, barely, in the name of Jesus. And God, I break that. I break that off from the generations. God, we repent of iniquities, God, where our families have robbed God by not tithing and not bringing in the offerings. But today, God, we come into alignment with your word where it says, let the poor say I'm rich. And we declare we are rich. God, we are wealthy rich in the name of Jesus. So God, I break off this mentality of lack and insufficiency and never enough. Even that dread of not having enough, that expectation of future lack, I break that off in the name of Jesus. I come against that fear that what you set your hands to won't be prospered. That thing that wants to go contrary to what God says about you. Always all that apprehension in the name of Jesus.
And God, I come against that thing, that habit of always saying the same thing, just continually saying things about lack, about poverty. God, I can't afford. We just come against that habitual speaking, lack and poverty. We come against that. We tell you, come out in Jesus' name. You come out of those people. I ask God that they form a new rabbit track, a new pathway, God, where they speak plenty, where they speak prosperity, God. And Lord, just let something go off in their mind when they begin to say what they've generally said about themselves. Mm-hmm.
And I also speak to like a doormat spirit, where you're just a doormat for other people to walk all over you, to say whatever they want to you. And I break that off in the name of Jesus, where you don't even consider you have enough value to stand up. And I break that off in the name of Jesus. I also come against a spirit of shame and guilt, and even like a spirit where you just feel like you deserve whatever comes to you because you have no value, because you've done things wrong. And I break that spirit of accusation off you in the name of Jesus, that accusing spirit that makes you submit even to abuse, in the name of Jesus. And I command even voices that mentally abuse you now, I command mental abuse that's spoken in the name of Jesus from things that have happened, and things that were even the voice of parents and the voice of other people that are still haunting you from when you were a child. I call those voices out right now in the name of Jesus. I command even a voice of ritual abuse out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I speak to almost like a humming on the inside, a drone sound, and I call that out in the name of Jesus. That droning sound of just this, like almost a storm coming, and you can just hear it. I call that out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That horrible, traumatic terror, I call that out in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and release that right now in the name of Jesus.
And we come against that agreement. Father, they'll think something that somebody has said, a grandparent, a parent, you're no good, that you don't amount to nothing. And they come into agreement. That voice of agreement just right away jumps on that. I call that voice of agreement out of there. You come out in Jesus' name. You will not agree with what's not true in Jesus' name.
And I speak to a spirit of sciatica. I command that to come out of the sciatic nerve. I speak to pain. I command pain to come out. I command lower back pain, arthritic pain in the lower back, that constant aching. I command that to go in the name of Jesus. I command all that stiffness in the joints to expel in the name of Jesus. I speak to irritable bowel syndrome. I command digestive issues and problems with the digestive system to go. I command anxiety and fear and stress in the digestive system. I break that. I command that to come out in the name of Jesus. That spirit of nausea, come out in the name of Jesus. That sick feeling, I break that right now in the name of Jesus. I speak to chronic sinus infections. I break them and I command them to go right now. I command even that spirit that causes stress and causes your immune system to constantly be weakened. I break that in the name of Jesus. That spirit of worry. Worry, worry, worry. Worry about everything. I command that to come out now in Jesus' name. You spirit of worry, all those provoking thoughts that this is going to happen and that's going to happen. I always expecting the worst. I command that to come out right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. We come against those mind games and that thing where the enemy tells you you're losing your mind and that you can't remember and things that you say, you voice out. I'm losing my mind. I can't remember. You're telling people I can't remember. I can't remember. I break that in Jesus' name. You have the mind of Christ. Your mind is subjected to the Word of God. And the Word of God dwells in you richly. And you have that mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I pull Alzheimer's and dementia. In Jesus' name, I come against you. You get out in Jesus' name.
That
will not
lie.
Put up with you foul lying spirit. I have the mind of Christ. Well, there are four according. I have the mind of Christ if I know Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, I command that thing to get out. In Jesus'
name,
hardening of the arteries. In Jesus' name, I call that out. I break every word curse you set against yourself. Things you said about I can't remember, I always forget. In Jesus' name, I declare over you, you have the memory of Christ and your memory is blessed. the memory of the righteous is blessed. So I say you are blessed this morning to remember in Jesus' name.
And I speak to a spirit of confusion, mind confusing spirits. I command spirits of forgetfulness come out now. All that disorientation, feeling disoriented, come out in the name of Jesus. All that confusion of that mind control, I command old age spirits to come out. And that spirit of the world that tells us when we get certain age that we're going to go downhill, I command old age spirits to expel in the name of Jesus. That expectation to forget, come out. That ungodly belief system, come out. All that confusion, come out. All that mental torment, all that fear of Alzheimer's, all that fear of dementia, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. All that anxiousness, that fear that you are going to be one of them, come out. That lie of the enemy in the name of Jesus. I break the power of words from doctors. I break the power of the words on the television, the things, the media that you listen to in the name of Jesus. And I declare that our minds are renewed, that we have the mind of Christ, and we hold the thoughts and feelings and purposes of his heart in the name of Jesus.
We come against that passive spirit that has just sat back and let stuff come on you. In Jesus' name, I agree with Pastor Bev that every old age spirit has to get off you. Whether you're young or whether you're old, every old age spirit, all that mindset of coming into agreement, the big ones out there, the flu's going to get out on you. Everybody will have this and everybody will have that, and everybody gets those things with the eyes. Cataracts. I come against that. I break the power of that. In Jesus' name. Who said that? We come out of agreement. Who told you that? In Jesus' name. The Word of God says, by his stripes, I'm healed. The Word of God says, Moses, when he climbed the mountain, his strength wasn't abated. Glory to God. And his eyes were not dimmed. So we claim that. That was under old covenant. This is new covenant. I claim the new covenant promises for you. And I say, in Jesus' name, your mind is clear. Your mind is sharp. And every demon that stands in the way has to leave now. Mm-hmm. In Jesus'
and I speak
name.
To also a spirit of fatigue, a spirit of weariness, that deep, deep tiredness. Come out in the name of Jesus. Always feeling sleepy. Always like you want to just go to sleep. I command that broken right now. That heaviness on your physical body. All that deep tiredness. Come up and out in the name of Jesus. I command even blockage in the blood flow. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I command even where arteries are blocked. I command right now that, Lord, you would go in literally and cause that to shatter, all that buildup in the arteries, and break and flush out right now in the name of Jesus. I command fear of stroke to go in Jesus' name. I speak to high blood pressure and I command it to go normal. I command spirits of high blood pressure, spirits of anger, spirits of inheritance to go right now in the name of Jesus. Generational infirmity, heart attacks, diabetes, come out in the name of Jesus. Expel. We speak to cancer. We speak to cancer cells. We command them to die. In the name of Jesus, I command fear of dying come out. Fear of dying at a young age, expel. Fear of dying before your time, come out in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus.
And I come against that planning in your mind. You're planning in your mind for, it's just in case something happens. You get that plan set up. I pull that plan down now in Jesus'
in
name. We're not planning
Jesus.
To fail. I call that plan for failure out of your spirit, out of your mind in Jesus' name. That planning to go into a nursing home or planning to see in yourself in years down the road an invalid. In Jesus' name, I pull that out. I say you come out in Jesus' name. We'll have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As our days are, so shall our strength be. So I call strength into you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
And I command all that tightness and all that stiffness, all that rigidity in the shoulders and in the back and the neck to go. In the name of Jesus, all that tightness, that inability to relax, all that tenseness, all that pain, come out in the name of Jesus. And all that stress, expel, that inability to relax, always uptight, come up and out in the name of Jesus. I command spirits that block you from getting comprehension of the Word of God and understanding the Word of God and getting revelation in the Word of God. I command all those mind-blocking spirits, that revelation-blocking spirits, to go now in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, we release, God, knowledge over your people. We release discerning over your people. Lord, we release, God, a gifting, God, the giftings of your Holy Spirit. God, we pray, God, right now, God, that the gifts of your Holy Spirit be stirred up and be released in the lives of your people, that we'll see gifts of working of miracles and healings and faith and tongues and interpretation, God, and discerning, God, and words of knowledge in the name of Jesus. Prophetic utterances begin to come forth, prophecy in the name of Jesus, that words of wisdom, God, be released in Jesus' name. And God, I come against this self-pity, poor me, wallowing all the time, wallowing and wallowing and wallowing and letting yourself be stuck almost like in a pit. In the name of Jesus, I command you to come up out of that pit, come out of that place that you feel you were wronged and that is just poor you all the time. I break that in the name of Jesus. I command where that spirit of irresponsibility, where every problem in your life is everybody else's fault but yours, that lack of accountability for who you are and where you're at in your walk with God, I break that off, that spirit of blame shifting in the name of Jesus. And I command you to come out of that right now in Jesus' name. And you need to come out of that because it will literally abort and alter your walk with God. So I command blame shifting right now to go in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And I command right now, wake up, wake up, wake up in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And I command right now, God, a release. Lord, I pray, God, that there would be a hunger and a thirsting to know you, God, a hunger for your word, God. God, I pray, God, that there come a pressing in, God, to just take hold of the hem of the garment of Jesus and receive healing right now. Receive your deliverance. Receive your wholeness right now in the name of Jesus. And I declare that you are the blessed. You're righteous. You're prosperous in the name of Jesus.
I come against that thing, and this goes along with what she just said, that thing that thinks that you can be nasty to people, and I know none of you have ever been nasty, but that thing that would cause you to say, I have a right to feel this way. I come against that selfish, self-centered spirit that is protective of yourself and your feelings. I come against that in Jesus' name. I come against that in the name of Jesus. And I release the spirit of love. Oh, God, that people would just be filled with your love and be kind. And God, I just thank you for that. Just that outpouring, oh, glory, of just your love and your kindness, Father.
And I command even like an imprint, that's almost like it's imprinted on your forehead, that says violated. And I command that imprint that says like a victim because you were wronged, and that thing that says been wronged, been wronged, been wronged, been wronged. And I command where that thing where it's been imprinted, and every day that you live, it reminds you that you were violated, that you were a victim, and that you were wronged by someone, God, that someone literally came in and devastated your life. But I break that off right now, that imprint. It's almost like something that stamped you and said you can never go forward because you were violated, you were wronged, you were mistreated, you were betrayed. And I break that off in the name of Jesus, and I command that imprint to be removed. We cast it to the very pit of hell, and we seal it there in the name of Jesus. And we release you right now to live. We release you to move forward in life. We release you to begin to see yourself as different, as victorious, as mighty through God in the name of Jesus. We release you to see yourself as blessed and prospered, no longer a victim of even generational sins and generational habits and generational patterns. But we break those off right now in the name of Jesus, those generational mindsets and patterns and habits. And I command you right now, I unlock that prison and I call you out of there, out of that ungodly mindset and belief system in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
And there's somebody here, maybe more than one, but I could see that there's somebody here that when she's broken soul ties, there's one you want to hang on to because it feels good for a little while and you don't know how to turn loose of that. So right now, I just heard you turn loose of that. We're going to call that broken. We're going to break that soul tie once and for all. Let it go. Turn that thing loose in Jesus' name. That one that you've been holding on to because it felt a little good and you didn't feel like they had the right for you to turn them loose. So I want you to break that. Now, you have to do it. I can't. I can break it, but if you want to hold on to it, you can. But the Lord said, turn that thing loose. Let it go. It's a bitter root spirit in there. I break that now in Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus. So, Father, right now we speak life into every person, God. We pray, God, that every place that there's been wounds, that Holy Spirit, you would just go in. And, Father, I ask, God, that you would heal every place, God, where demons were cast out in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask, God, even where there's been brokenness, God, that you will reintegrate broken areas, God, that you would cleanse those areas. And, God, where there's people, God, that have even been arrested, God, in any area of their life, God, where they were not allowed to just almost like move forward. God, we just come against that arrested development and arrested behavior and stunted growth. And Father, I ask Holy Spirit, God, that right now that they be released right now, just begin to move forward in their lives. That God, you would take every broken place, that you would knit those places back together, God. I declare that your people are established in righteousness. In the name of Jesus, they are blessed. They are blessed coming in and they are blessed going out. And God, where their enemy has come out against them one way, God, you cause today that enemy to flee seven different ways. And Father God, I declare that where the enemy has endeavored in any way to bring destruction in their lives, God, that God, your intent, that God, he could never successfully succeed at that. But God, your hand is resting upon your people to bring deliverance and healing back into the body of Christ that they might come out. God, and I pray, God, also for a determination to come upon your people that no longer will they sit under the rule of a hard taskmaster in the name of Jesus, but they will rise up and they will lay hold, God, of what you have so highly paid for, their freedom. No more taskmaster, no more slave mentality, but God, we will walk in a mentality of righteousness, of sons and daughters of God, that Lord, we will rise up into that place where we have been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and we will rule over our enemies in every area. God, I declare, God, a new courage and a new boldness, God, and a new integrity, God, to come upon your people, God. Father God, that we will be unrelenting, God, in the areas to go out and lay hold of, God, that which you purchased for us on that cross. And Lord, we thank you for that today. We thank you, God, that we do live in a place called done, that it is finished. It is finished. It is finished. And you are free. You are healed. You are delivered in the mighty name of Jesus. You are blessed, blessed, blessed. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah. Today was our last class, and for a little while, we're going to be actually kind of doing things a little bit different in the fall. We're actually right now for both the healing school and this one, and probably the prophetic too, but we're just going to be just doing some things a little bit different. So when you come back, I think you're going to like it. It's going to be a little more structured. And just good. So, but we're taking a break right now. Remember, I told you, Jesus don't get tired, but we do. Hallelujah. You still got Jesus to go with you. Yeah. And so, but we're here all the time, too. So, you know, if you need prayer of Sundays, you know, Saturdays. There's people here. We've got a great altar team. You know, just come and set yourself to receive and start walking in your God-given authority. Amen. Start taking back what the enemy has tried to take away from you, because he doesn't have no right. We have a defeated enemy. He's been disarmed, made a bold display of, triumphed over in the cross. All of your sins have been nailed to that cross, so there's not one thing you've ever done or ever would do that the devil can hold against you, because Jesus already was judged and paid for it. So what a good position we sit in to go out and be what God wants us to be. Amen? Amen. Amen.